Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm your host, Belinda Ellsworth, and I have a great guest in store for you today. I have Arthur Karmazi with me. Ranked as one of the world's top 10 thought leaders in organizational culture and leadership by Global Gurus International, Arthur Karmazi has 21 years experience specializing in psychological approaches to leadership and corporate culture transformation. He is a renowned motivational leadership keynote speaker and trainer in the Asian region and has advanced corporate training with innovative techniques and tools that have been acknowledged by some of the world's greatest organizations. He's a best-selling author with book titles like The Six Dimensions of Top Achievers, The Colored Brain Communication Field Manual, Identity Intelligence, and Lessons from the Monkey King, as well as The Psychology of Selecting the Right Employee. It is my pleasure to welcome Arthur to our show today.
Well, thank you, Belinda, and it is an absolute amazing pleasure to be here.
Well, thank you. So, Arthur, just fill us in on this bio and tell us a little bit more about your journey and really how you came to be one of the world's top 10 thought leaders.
Well, like most situations, it started with absolute and utter failure.
I love that. I love that. And so, let's hear more about that.
Okay, well, you know how sometimes, you know, people have jobs, and well, I used to have a job, and I used to have a job because at one point in my life, I thought that, you know, I was managing director of this consulting company. I thought, wow, you know, I am so good at this, and I am so awesome. I'm going to just start my own company. And I started my own company, and within about a year and a half, I was $500,000 in debt. Now, I don't know if you've ever been $500,000 in debt, but it's really no fun. Okay, do not try this at home.
Absolutely.
So, I had to get a job, and I got this job as a department head in this big multinational company. And so, you know how you first get a job? I mean, any job, doesn't matter if it's your first business, your first job, you know, whether it doesn't matter you're working in an ice cream shop or you're, you know, the managing director of some big conglomerate. I mean, you're excited, right? I mean, it's like you think of like, wow, you know, all the different things that I can do and all the things I can achieve and all the difference I'll be able to make. And you just kind of have this excitement and this passion, and you put in literally, I mean, 100% of who you are into this job until about 3 weeks later. And that's kind of, you know, where I started. It's like I was excited, man. I mean, I was like really there. I was super excited. And about 3 weeks into this, you know, I started noticing that all these people are like blaming everybody else. And, you know, the finance department is blaming these guys and the marketing guys are blaming the finance. Everybody's blaming everybody. And I thought, no problem. I can make a difference. I can make this happen. And I come up with these really cool ideas. Have you ever had really cool ideas, Belinda?
I've had a few in my time, yes.
And what happens? You know, you go and you tell people these really cool ideas, right? And in this case, though, they'd say, look, we understand you're new, okay? But, you know, you do your thing. You've got your own department. We've got our own department, and we'll do our thing, right? You know, you've got your resources. Mm-hmm. We've got our resources. And it's like, oh, man, what is wrong with these people? I knew, you know, but I knew I could make a difference. 4.5 months later, do you know what happened?
What?
Without even realizing it, I started blaming people. And, you know, I blame these guys and I blame these guys over here. And then people would come up to me and they'd say, hey, Arthur, you know, can you help me with this? And I'd say, look, you do your thing. I do my thing. I got sucked in. And, you know, after a while, you just kind of sink into this culture without even realizing it. And you become a person that you don't recognize, that you would never have looked at yourself before that and said, oh, I'll never be like that. And then you become that. And that's who I became. And you know, I found that I had, I just gave up. I knew that I had more potential, but the culture was in such a way where it's just like, what does it matter anyway? You know, and I just gave up. And one day I looked in the mirror and I thought, man, you suck. And I decided to go and talk to these other bad people, all these people that were making my life difficult. And I found out something completely unexpected. I found out that they were real human beings and that they actually had similar situations and similar standards and everything that I did, but they also got sucked in. So I thought, wow, well, this is really tough, right? I mean, this is more than just the people. There's invisible forces at work. So I figured I've got to fix it. And that's what kind of got me started on a research that would later become known as the body of work of directive communication psychology. And after a little over a year, implemented some of this stuff that I was learning in the organization, we ended up saving the company $17,000 a week in wastage.
Wow.
And from there, I started like writing articles, and then I'd got on the radio, and then I'd get on TV, and then people started calling me, and then I was eventually able to quit my job and thus start my current business. Dun, dun, dun. And what that current business is essentially, I mean, we work with company cultures. Now, most of the work we do is larger companies, bigger organizations that have thousands of employees. But the other half of what we do is, we also work a lot with creating very specific processes and systems for small businesses to also apply. And directive communication psychology is something that we are developing through licensed trainers and consultants. So right now we have over 400 directive communication psychology licensed trainers and consultants in 18 different countries.
That's incredible.
So that's more or less, in a very brief nutshell, my story and what I do.
Well, that sounds interesting. I love it when you shared the whole failure thing. I think people are just really afraid sometimes to really follow their heart, or when they do, then they have this failure. They decide that, well, I guess I wasn't really cut out to do that. And most people that have had any level of success at all have failed probably numerous times before they actually hit.
Absolutely.
And their path takes them in different twists, like you just described, before they actually land on, oh, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Sometimes you have a thought, like you asked me, have you ever had any really great ideas? And a lot of times my really great idea that I think is so incredible doesn't actually turn out the way that I thought it was, but it morphs and it takes twists and it takes turns. And it comes out to be something really great, but not the same picture of what my really great idea was. It's just a new version of my really great idea. But the great idea, if I had never had it, is what sparked us on the journey.
Exactly.
Yeah. So how has the business today shaped your lifestyle?
Okay, so I used to travel around the world and go and talk and stuff a lot. But then I had children. And I have two children, boys, 11 and 8. And so rather than spending most of my time away from them, I decided to build this retreat center castle in Bali, where we basically do retreats instead.
Wow, that must be a wonderful place to have retreats, right?
It is. It's very cool. It's actually carved into the volcanic stone mountain here in Ubud. And there's secret passages and revolving bookcases and all sorts of really cool stuff.
Oh, my gosh. Fun. So tell us a little bit more about that retreat. That sounds interesting.
Okay. The place is called Avalon, and it's in Ubud. And, I mean, if you want to look at pictures, you can see them at corporateretreats.asia. And essentially, I mean, it's like, you know, you when you're a kid, you've got these ideas of what you want to do and where you want to go and what kind of place you want to build and everything. And so this was, I mean, it's right on the river. It's on this big volcanic mountain cliff, and it's got greenery everywhere. And you know, I mean, it's kind of this combination of everything, because I've traveled around the world, so I bring stuff from everywhere, and not, you know, like artifacts as well as ideas, and all of that basically has shaped this place.
Well, that's great.
So it's kind of like Indiana Jones meets Harry Potter.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like, right? So tell us about a couple of skill sets that you feel that have been instrumental in helping you achieve your success.
Well, okay, one of the key things is that, you know, mindset is not the same as psychology. So what happens, see, I mean, the idea is that, you know, there, at one point, I mean, you know, you're excited, you have the right mindset, you're the, you know, you're ready to go, you're ready to work hard, and you're doing all of these right things, and you've got all of the knowledge and everything, and yet you're not really you're not getting the results. And that happened to me a lot. And one of the key things that we had implemented, because again, it's all related to culture. Your culture, or the culture that you have with the people around you. I mean, just for example, okay, your behavior with your family is different than your behavior with your friends, right? Okay.
Okay.
You don't purposely do that. You just have different behaviors, right? And different friends even bring out different behaviors from you as well. You don't even realize it, but you just behave differently with different groups. And of course, if you're at work, you also have different behavior. You're not doing it on purpose. It just happens. So environment, or your culture, the culture of whatever it is you have, whether you're in a group of two or in a group of 1,000, those are environments or cultures. And that culture that is created defines a lot of the psychology that you may not be aware of, that may be actually preventing you from achieving the stuff that you want to achieve. So you'll notice how in some groups of people, they really, these people just bring out some, you know, innovation and proactiveness, and you're just like in the zone when you're with some people. And when you're with other people, I mean, you just kind of feel like, you know, I don't really want to do this right now. And you just kind of like feel a little bit, just, I don't know, sticky, I guess, would be for lack of a better word. And you just don't get things done. And it's not because you don't have the skill or the passion or the ability. It is because the environment and the psychology of that environment is affecting the facets that are affected from you specifically. You may be a different person, may be affected differently, but that's the whole thing. Understanding how you fit into your environment, how to get that environment, that culture, to really support your psychology within that within that group, so that you can achieve what you want to achieve. And that was one of the key things that I learned. So the psychology, your mindset does not equal your psychology, because the psychology is a combination of who you are in the different environments that you exist in. And understanding that that culture, or environment psychology, is going to be an absolute key to actually moving and getting you to achieve the things that you need to achieve.
Okay, that's, that sounds great. So do you want to share with us one of your greatest accomplishments, or something you're extremely proud of?
Wow, a greatest accomplishment. I guess one of the greatest accomplishments would be some of the research work that I've done on brain clarity.
Okay.
And see, again, I mean, so you've got, we oftentimes we're in groups where we're working together, we're talking, etc. And for some reason, I mean, you feel like, oh, you know, this person doesn't understand me. They don't get me. They're making me do stupid stuff instead of actually letting me do the work. You know, you feel like you are not being able to use your utmost potential. Okay. And yep. Oftentimes it's simply because people are literally having a different clarity getting process. Okay. This is called the brain's ambiguity relief process. This process basically is the way that your brain interprets information genetically and translates it into some kind of clarity. So for example, you may be getting, let's say for example, you are a chaotic processor, right? So chaotic processor needs to take action in order to get more clarity. So and because they need to take action, they're constantly moving and moving forward and shaping and reshaping as they go along. Well, let's say, for example, somebody that's linear processing, okay, they need to find structure. So if there isn't any structure, then they'll make it, okay? But they create structure and they can't really feel very comfortable in taking action until that clarity is achieved through connecting the structure. So if you can just take these two for example, you can see where there can be some conflict.
Okay.
And when you have the, so for example, when you have the this linear processor that needs to, you know, get structure and they need to basically see everything, see how it all connects, how does it all fit? Well, the other guy's already taking action and going, and these guys are like, wait, what are you doing? Okay, and so you oftentimes have a lot of room to feel disrespected. Whichever one you are, okay, whether you're the guy with the linear process and the guy and the other guy's running off and doing stuff ahead of you without having the quote structure that you need, or whether it's the guy that's holding you back when you're trying to move forward, trying to give you structure that you don't want. And so because of that feeling of disrespect, what ends up happening is that people end up feeling that, oh, well, okay, you know, this person doesn't understand me, and so therefore they start to become less engaged, and less engaged also means that they start essentially losing the passion, the excitement, and the things that are basically making them high potential in the first place.
Great. So share with us what working from your happy place means to you.
Wow, working from my happy place. I mean, well, that... You know, I mean, this is Bali and I live in a castle. I mean, that's kind of a pretty happy place.
It is.
the whole space, I mean, having the right kind of space, the right kind of atmosphere, the right kind of people. I mean, I am so fortunate that the people that I have working with me, I don't have to actually tell them what to do. Everything just works. And, that really is one of the key factors, I guess, in working from my happy place.
All right. Well, what advice would you give others who want to be entrepreneurs, want to sort of follow down this adventurous path and maybe a little bit afraid or not sure exactly what it's going to require? What advice would you give?
Wow. Well, basically what I would say is, look at your culture. Okay. So, I mean, whatever it is that you're starting, whether it's you and your spouse or you and a partner or whatever, anytime there's more than one person, you're creating a culture. And start with that, understand what it is that you want to achieve in the culture, and identify the primary motivators that are connected to that culture, at least just one thing. I mean, especially, you know, when you're hiring people, you got to make sure that everybody is connected to at least one thing on a motivation level. For us, it's about the ability to grow and you know, innovate and change things. Okay. So that's one of the key things for us. It doesn't matter who's being hired in our organization. One of the key things is that they have to have that innovation mindset, not be afraid to break things. And that makes life so much easier across, you know, your entire growth as an organization if you're nurturing the culture from the very beginning.
Very good. So are there any new and exciting things that you would love our audience to hear about? And lastly, how can they find you?
Wow. Okay. Well, okay. There is one suite of tools that we have created to help smaller businesses to develop their organizational culture, develop their people, develop their communication, develop their leadership, and gamify everything so that they can create the right psychology within the system itself. And so so that's kind of like one of the more exciting things that that we've recently developed. And the four tools are the Culture Evolution Evaluation, which you can find at cultureevolution.com, and the Colored Brain Communication Inventory, which you can find at coloredbrain.com, and the Emotional Drive Mirrored Assessment, which basically it's a gap analysis tool that helps you to kind of see where you are compared to how other people see you. Because, you know, sometimes you think like you are being supportive, but other people think you're a control freak and you don't know it, so you don't change.
Right.
And so there's a tool called the EDMA. It's at emotionaldrive.net. And then Squadly, which is squad with an L-I at squadly.com. And this these four tools together can very easily and effectively help any size of a business to start to develop their culture, their people, and basically be on the right track. And that's one of the key things that I'm so excited about.
Very good. And where's a good place to find you?
Best place to find me, I guess, would be at carmazzi.net. And that's carmazzi.net.
Well, thanks so much, Arthur, for sharing your insightfulness and expertise with us today. And I'm sure that our listeners gleaned a lot of really great nuggets from this. So thank you so much.
It was my absolute pleasure.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends. And be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.